Hundreds of New Englanders are sounding off about a Coast Guard plan to update their coastal foghorns. Now, I know I promised a moment ago we were going to talk about the Navy's Cutter program. We will do that, but just not right now. What the Coast Guard is also doing is replacing some 1970s technology, and that's going to mean maybe fewer soundings of the foghorn, and some people don't like that idea. Well, joining me with more on this is Matt Stuck. He's the first Coast Guard District Aids to Navigation Manager. Matt, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning, Tom. Glad to be here. Thanks for the opportunity.
All right. So I guess most people didn't realize the Coast Guard even was the group that operated foghorns to begin with.
So the sound signals are actually part of the Federal Aids to Navigation System nationwide. The Coast Guard maintains about 38,000 federal aids and a whole host of oversight on private aids to navigation that harbor masters and other individuals establish to facilitate navigation in local areas. We in the extreme northeast from New Jersey north in my area of operations have about 5,700 of those aids to navigation, of which about 260 or so are fog signals or the horns that we kind of associate with the sounds of the sea.
All right, so these go back centuries, I guess, to when people couldn't see lighthouses because of the fog, so the horn would tell people in boats, watch out if you hear this noise.
Exactly. It's timely because actually we're getting ready to celebrate in 2016 the 300th anniversary of the nation's oldest aid to navigation. That's Boston Light. And when we go back that far, we're talking about bonfires onto whale oil, onto other mechanisms to visually identify rocks and shoals and so forth. And old horns, if you will, or sound signals to keep people away from rocks and toward the channel would often be cannon fire. And then they evolved, of course, over time to horns and then electronic sounding horns and so forth. So how we turn those on and off is the technological challenge that we continue to evolve with as we've sort of evolved in these other areas too.
And just as an aside, the Boston Light, where is that?
Boston Light is the marker that's located at the main entrance to Boston Harbor in Massachusetts. It's was built in 1790 by President Washington. In fact, it was the first commissioned lighthouse. And so we're coming up, as I said, on the 300th anniversary in just a couple years.
All right. From there, you can see the Hood milk bottle, I guess. All right. So getting back to the, you know what I mean, getting back to the foghorns. So what is the technology now that exists? My understanding is they operate automatically when fog is detected in the atmosphere.
They do. We have a system that measures particulate and moisture content in the air and then triggers the signal to sound when it identifies within a certain range, 3 miles, 10 miles, et cetera, that there's likely fog in the area and then actuates the horn itself. The new technology, now there's some challenges with that. Among them is that it's very costly, can only be calibrated by folks who have a lot of specialized training that, again, comes at a cost at a time when so many of our federal agencies are looking for ways to do business most efficiently and have a really wise use of all of our taxpayer dollars. The new system puts control of that same horn, so the tone doesn't change, nothing is different about the signal, in the hands of mariners by keying their VHF marine band radio on a couple of common frequencies five times in a row within about 10 seconds, and then you get your signal for about the next 45 minutes or so.
So the radios then become tied in some way to a component on the foghorn that can sense that radio signal.
That's correct. Essentially, it's a very simplistic technology, easy to maintain, easy to fix on scene, easy to replace parts, inexpensive, and frankly, very reliable. It relies on line of sight, so your radio has to have a direct line of sight to the receiver that's adjacent to the foghorn. And once keyed, again, it'll go off for 45 minutes. It does require that you have a marine band radio, and that's something that's a significant change from the way we had done it previously, where the fog detectors would actually, you know, trigger when they see particulate, and that technology is not absolutely foolproof either. The maintenance problems are growing over time as the systems age. at a time when the resources aren't there to continue to maintain those systems. So really our goal is to put control in the hands of mariners.
We're speaking with Matt Stuck. He's the first Coast Guard District Aids to Navigation Manager. And so I guess my question is, if the foghorns are still going to be there and still going to sound off when there's fog, what are people unhappy about that are on the shore?
So one of the challenges is, of course, to recognize that the Coast Guard's of our 11 statutory missions, marine transportation system management, of which ATON is a huge portion, AIDS navigation is a huge portion, is there for mariners. It's there to facilitate safe navigation. The sounds of the sea, as it were, waves, bells, gongs, whistles, seagulls, etc., do become kind of a norm in local areas for folks, and so foghorns are something that people become very accustomed to landside, those who may not even go to sea at all. The goal is to make sure that mariners themselves who are on scene, they can actually detect and see fog, and if they feel they need that signal, they can activate it. Not only activate that one, but frankly activate all the ones that are nearby. The trick, of course, is that when it's foggy, a lot of mariners don't get underway. They don't choose to go out in those kinds of conditions unless they absolutely have to. So we are only going to hear those signals when those activators have been installed in areas where mariners have selected to turn them on. Anybody, frankly, with a marine band radio and a line of sight to the signal can do it. But it's only going to be for those who really need the signal. Of course, that's what it's intended for. So the instances of the horn sounding, in many cases, probably is decreasing in those areas. But again, when we consider that it's to facilitate safe navigation, that's really our intent.
Plus, you're cutting a lot of cost to maintain the laser system that's in place now.
That's exactly it. I mean, they're power hungry, which of course requires more batteries, more solar panels, more maintenance. We have at least a semi-annual maintenance requirements, and as the rates of failure increase, we find that our technicians are actually out there much more frequently than every 6 months. They're out there, in some cases, every couple of months, fixing or replacing parts in the old system. And to put it in context, every foghorn that previously had a fog detector on the Great Lakes has since been transitioned to this Mariner radio-activated system. The Northeast, where my area of operations is located, is a place where we are probably about 20% into that process of transitioning the remaining 60 or so aids that we have.
Now, if I'm one of those snobs from down east and I've got my home on the main coast, what's to stop me from just buying one of those radios and putting it on auto or something so that it's always sounding the foghorn?
Quite frankly, nothing. I mean, the technology is certainly not prescriptive. So we are there to provide the signal to those who need it, and certainly nothing would stop someone so inclined from doing that. Our experience on the Great Lakes and in other places on the Pacific Northwest or elsewhere on the East Coast has shown us that the sort of novelty of it wears off pretty quickly, and people become accustomed to, if I want that signal, I get that signal, and I just, you know, trigger my key five times, and I'll get that on marine band radio. So, frankly, nothing, although our experience has kind of informed us otherwise.
And so, also, I guess, pursuant to, you know, people not wanting to hear it more than they're hearing it now, haven't some of the horns been replaced with really high-energy electronic speaker arrays that you can't even walk in front of because of the danger of the sound pressure, have replaced the old-fashioned horns?
The real old-fashioned horns, and by that we're really talking about sort of a 1950s technology, have since been replaced by all electronic horns. But that's really was true by the late 70s and early 80s. We've been using a consistent kind of horn signal for quite some time. So that's really the intensity levels are high, as they should be if you want to get a sound signal half a mile or a mile or offshore. And you wouldn't want to stand in front of them while it was activated without ear protection, there's no question. But we typically baffle, which is to say we insert sound-reducing plugs into the sections of the horn that face land or face walkways if it happens to be in an area where there may be visitors or tourists or what have you. So we certainly take as many precautions as we can. We warn people at length, you know, when this sound signal triggers, this sound is intense, stay away from it, and so on and so forth. So that's been in play really for a very, very long time. Fog detector or no, that's always been a concern for the Coast Guard.
Okay, because the reason I ask is I was on a craggy coast a couple of years ago. I think it was in New Jersey, and there was one of these big arrays. It looked like a big egg crate type of thing pointing out to the ocean, and it had some scary warning signs. So that was a Coast Guard foghorn.
Absolutely. Yep.
All right. Well, interesting program. Good luck with getting that all updated. Matt Stuck is the first Coast Guard District's Aids to Navigation Manager. Thanks so much for joining me.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me, Tom.